What wonderful hymns. What a wonderful hope. Now let me ask you something. If you sang that you're going to be there, what are you basing it on? May I ask you that? What is the basis that you have sung with us tonight, saying that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there? Let me ask you something again. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been and seen the Lord Jesus as He suffered there for you? I'm telling you, if you've not been to Calvary, you won't be there. I want you to face that tonight, not at the end of the meeting, not when we're all done, but I want to ask you tonight, I'm going to ask that we put on the board a song you sang the other night. To go along with these songs, here's a question. Verse 1. Shall you the hopeless horror see of hell for all eternity? What's your answer? I want to tell you with all the energy I can put in it, if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus, the answer to that question is yes. There's an all in front of eternity. It kind of gives an idea that somehow we can describe that which is infinite. We can't. Eternity is like the circle. It is forever and ever and ever. So let me ask you that question. Where will you spend eternity? Verse 2. If you should in your sins be brought to stand before the awful face, listen to this, from which heaven and earth shall flee, the throned one of eternity. The brother read, Brian read this week, and talked about the great white throne. The brother that spoke last night talked about the great white throne. My dear friend, that is a future event for you. May I say that again? You will stand there. You will be in front of the one who suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring you to God. You're here tonight, and I'm not going to chide you that Sunday night you said no. Monday night you said no. Tuesday night you said no. Wednesday night you said no. I'm going to tell you, I thank God that you have Thursday night. I thank God that you have this night. I want you to know, and I say this to those that are believers here tonight, the forces of hell are set against this meeting. Satan hates gospel meetings. Dear believer, pray. Start now and pray through this meeting tonight. Think of those that are sitting here. Their minds are blinded. The great gulf is before them. And the word has gone out and they don't believe it. Or they've neglected it. I ask you, pray as the word goes out. I want to speak just to you. I don't know where you are who are unsaved. That's not a real big audience here. You may think, well, Chuck's speaking to 500 people tonight. No. No, I think many of those are praying. And they're asking God that you might be delivered from the power of Satan. They're praying that your eyes would be opened, that the chains that have bound you would be broken, that you would be delivered. There's only one who can do that. There's only one. It's not religion. It is not the desire of any of us to make you a religious person. It is our desire that you might become a follower of Jesus Christ, that you might know this one not only as your Savior, but your Lord and Savior. Satan works, and he says, you have time. He says you have tomorrow. He says you have next week. I picked up the phone and I looked at the Bluefield News. Just before we left, a father took his son to a popular swimming place, a waterfall, called the Cascades, Pembroke, Virginia. The water comes down 70, 80 feet. You can stand right under the falls. And I guess they did. And it's cold water. And they went swimming. And the next thing that was known, the little boy was gasping. And the father helped him. He pushed him ashore. And the father went under, and he never came back up. Springville, Virginia, 2 miles down the road from me. Man on a four-wheeler up in the mountains. They don't know what happened. They found the wreck. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Have you stopped and thought of that? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Are you sure? Are you sure you'll get home from Grove City? Are you sure when you get on the interstate that it's everything is okay and next week I can go back to life as I have known it? Well, I'm going to look at something tonight with you. Long time ago, they used to have TV programs. One of them was called King for a Day, Queen for a Day. We're going to give you the chance to be that. But before we do that, I'm going to express what I heard Dr. Benham say years ago. I've said it in these meetings before. As a physician, the most difficult thing that he ever had to do was to face a patient and to say, I'm sorry, your condition is terminal. There's nothing I can do. There's no operation. There's no medicine. There's no chemotherapy. There's no radiation. And to see the look on the face of the individual. I remember the day that I heard that I had cancer. Thank God it's been 10 years. And I remember when the young lady said to me, Mr. Barry, she called me on my phone, are you driving? I says, yes. She says, we need you in our office in an hour. I says, well, lady, that's a problem. I'm 2.5 hours away. You know what she said? Pull over to the side of the road. I must talk to you. Can I say to you tonight, your condition without Jesus is terminal. You have no hope. You are without God in this world. You are not going to be lost. You are lost. Right where you sit tonight. That's the word God uses of you not knowing His Son. You are lost. And leave this life without our Lord Jesus, and you are eternally lost. You are not in. You are out. You are not saved. You are unsaved. And Jesus, He says, I'm giving you another opportunity. This is your hour. This is your hour of decision tonight. Many of us came to know the Lord Jesus here at this conference. What a blessed privilege. Before we go into the Old Testament, turn to Romans. First part of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Beginning with verse 10. The Spirit of God. I don't want to say Paul. Paul was the vessel. Paul was the instrument. And this is a message from heaven. This is a message about you. I don't want you to think of the one sitting beside you. Somebody else here with difficulties. This is a message about you. He says, there is none righteous. But not any. No. Not one. You are not an exception. You are unrighteous. You have served Satan, especially if you're an older one. You're old enough to know what it means to be lost. You're old enough to know what it means to be saved by the grace of God. Paul said to these, you are, there's none righteous. There is none that understands. It doesn't even say one. He says there's none. I marvel at those people that argue with people of this world about creation. The only way we understand creation is by faith. It is by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What do we have there? There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You're not an exception. Shall you the hopeless horror see of hell, the lake of fire, never created for you, never God's intention for you to go there, not willing that one should perish? Is this your destiny? What else do we see? They're all gone out of the way. Not most of them. Oh, God is specific in His Word. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You say, well, what is the problem? Let me quote you a verse. The heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked. And so the physician looks at you and he says, son, daughter, I know that you came here just for a little checkup. But I'm sorry. There are real problems. Your heart is not just not good. It's wicked. It's incurably, desperately wicked. I tell you the good news. Jesus died for such hearts. That's the wonder of the message that we bring. We bring a message of hope to those that have no hope, to the hopeless. We say to you tonight, there's life in Christ alone. Look at verse 13. Their throat is an open, can you imagine this? An open grave, an open sepulcher. He says, listen, I've checked this out pretty thoroughly. The tongue has done nothing but deceive people. He says the poison of asp is under the lips. We used to say to the young people, this is God's MRI. This is his declaration of what man after the flesh is. This is his declaration of the race of Adam. All the way down. No hope without God in this world. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Cursing and bitterness. Destruction and misery are in their ways. I dare say, dear one, if you don't know Jesus, you've found this is true. You didn't need me to come up here and say that to you tonight. You found that Satan is a hard taskmaster. He is a destroyer. He does not care about you. He has no interest in you. And he wants to take you to a Christless, godless eternity. But Jesus died on Calvary. The Son of God, we most of us here can say this tonight, the Son of God loved me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was an enemy. He loved me when I had no interest in anything about him. Not only did he love me, but he gave his life on Calvary. You may look back and you may speak to me tonight about what men did to the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what men did to the Savior is despicable, horrible. They hated him. They abused him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They put a robe on him. They hit him on the head. And they said, blindfolded, prophesy who did this. May I tell you what that proves? That's the heart of man. That was my heart before I was saved. That's your heart. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, this is the declaration of what we are as children of Adam. But all I'm going to tell you that following those 3 hours when man could see, when the Lord Jesus was a spectacle to all that would look, darkness enveloped the Savior. And he stood in my place. He bore what I could never bear. He suffered the just for the unjust. He tasted death for every man. Are you in the good of it? You see, that's the great question tonight. Where do you stand? This ends up here. The way of peace they have not known. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus gives peace. He gives blessing. If you're a younger one, I can tell you, he gives direction. He gives help. He gives meaning to life here in this world. He gives purpose to men and women. You haven't found that in the world you're going through. Do you know how I know it? I lived in this world. I've dealt with this world. Others here have. And we've found that this is a world that says you got to look out for number one first. And it really doesn't matter about anybody else. Well, Look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, I tell you again, this is the world we live in. This is the heart of man. Well, everything will be okay. Let me tell you something. It's the worst lie that Satan has ever set before mankind. That everything will be okay. Don't worry about it. No, we've had the gospel each night this week. Everything will not be okay with you. We can't tell you that for a moment. Everything is wonderful for the one that has been saved. But everything, not anything, will be okay for those that leave this life or for those that are left behind. When Jesus comes, and I'm looking for him, I'm looking at the events in this world, and I'm wondering how much longer before the Lord raptures the believers out of here. And you are left in this world. Number one, don't believe it. No second chance. Those that had the opportunity to trust Christ during the dispensation we live in the day of grace, they will live in this world. And the Holy Spirit is taken away. And the church is taken away. And if you believe there's violence and corruption in the world today, in the United States, in Germany, in Canada, across the seas, you have seen nothing. You have seen nothing like you will see. You'll be left here. You'll be left here to somehow make it on your own. There will be an apostatized church that will still be here. Doors will still be open. But there will be no Savior calling you. No second chance. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. This day. Not the gospel meeting tomorrow night. Not a meeting some other time. But this night is decision night for you. Are you willing? Are you willing to acknowledge that you, not the person beside you, but you have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That is the best acknowledgement you will ever make in your lifetime. Do you want to hear a man that did it in the final moments of his life? And he is one of two thieves. He's on a cross beside the Savior. And he looks at the Lord Jesus. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. At the last instant of his life. And you know those blessed words. As that man looked up at the Savior, hung on that cross, crowned with a crown of thorns, stripped naked, his feet nailed, his hands nailed. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want to ask you something. I'm going to ask you before the end of the meeting. Have you considered Christ? Have you considered your life? Have you considered your latter end? That is the beginning of blessing for any one of us. To recognize and to own, my destination is not where I want to go. I want to be with Christ. I want to be like him. If the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the hope of the believer, that my citizenship is not in this world. I'm not here to improve the world that's going to judgment. My citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven that I look for the Savior. And we're here tonight. And I'm telling you, we can't save you. Nobody that has spoken this week can save you. Do you hear that? Not one that has spoken to you this week can save you. What can we do? We can proclaim the grace of God. We can proclaim that Jesus saves sinners. We can tell you that there was a woman in John 4. There was a woman in John 4 that could say, and she was a godless woman. She was a woman that had had five husbands, and the man that she was now living with was not her husband. And she could go after she had met the Lord Jesus. And she could say to those, I want you to come and I want you to see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That woman was converted to God. This is what conversion is. I'm Larry. I said it today. I'm Larry of the social gospel. It says repeat verse A, repeat verse B, repeat verse C, and you're free and everything is okay. I don't know a gospel like that. I believe that's one of the other gospels perhaps that Paul would speak of, that he calls a perversion of the gospel of the grace of God. It shows an end that will never come by the means that it sets forth. What is the Lord looking for? What was he looking for from Chuck when he came into this audience? Same thing he's looking for from you. Repentance toward God. I own. He is right. I'm a sinner. I am lost. I have lived a life of sin. And Lord Jesus, I want to turn around. Brother Brian set before us, I'm not going to turn to the Old Testament. I'm going to turn you to those verses that we looked at in Matthew 7. I'm looking at the clock and I'll tell you in 10 minutes, I'll be done. In 10 minutes, you can look at me and say, Chuck, I've been saved by the grace of God. You can come down and talk to me if you want to. I would love to talk to you. I would love to pray with you. Others would. We would love to discuss these things if you have questions. But look at Matthew chapter 7. And let's just take this verse apart for just a minute. Matthew 7 and verse 13. I ask you, if you have a Bible, look at these words. Look at somebody beside you. Read the Word of God that we're going to look at. This is the Lord Jesus saying this. He is God manifest in flesh, living, walking here upon this earth. He can say, enter ye in. Well, I notice right away, somebody is out. They're outside. Now, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. You know what the world would call this? This is Easy Street. This is Easy Street. You do whatever you want to. If it feels good, you do it. If it's alcohol, if it's immorality, if it's drugs, if it's a life of thievery, if it's unfaithfulness, nothing matters. The broad road leads to destruction. Oh, see tonight, it has a destiny. You can't escape it. There is a destiny before all that are on that road. Enter ye in at the straight or the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Jesus said, I am the way. Are you looking for a way? Are you looking for truth? I'm not only the way, I am the truth. Not only am I truth, but I am life. He presents that to this lost, dying world that we're in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man Nobody here is an exception. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what wonder. He is the door. He is the entrance. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is everything that you need to turn your life around and go on another road that Brian was showing us. Here it says again, many there be which go in thereat. The greatest myth that men have propagated is somehow there's going to be company in the lake of fire. Company? Somebody else helping me be comfortable? We saw the other night that the words were, cup of water. Let me dip my finger in the cup of water. A great gulf, Scripture says. Not only a great gulf, but a great gulf that is fixed. Oh, my dear friend, young one. Maybe you're one of the young people that sit with us all week. And you somehow think that you're going to escape. Let me tell you, you may go home without Christ. You may come back again to this conference. You may not. You may not be here next week, next month. Again, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. The Lord Jesus said here, many be there which go in thereat. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go beyond the little city of Grove City, or you can get down to Slippery Rock or Mercer, or you can go in any of these little towns around here, and you can find an abundance of people that will say to you, listen, don't you believe that. Don't believe what these people are telling you. Most people are not going to agree. Because many there be which go in thereat. It is a broad road. A whole lot of people are on that. It is the road that is popular in the world that you're passing through. Its end is bitter as wormwood. That's what you have to see tonight. Do I want to stay on that road? If there's a voice that's speaking to you tonight, I don't believe it's my voice. You see, the Spirit of God uses the word. He tugs at the heart. He says, come. Come unto me. All you that labor. Have you found that is what his life is about? That it hasn't been rewarding? There have been difficulties and problems? I want to say again what was said earlier. Is there one here that needs restoring grace in your life? You've wandered. You've gotten away from the Lord. You remember the day that you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. And you've gotten in bad company. You've gotten with people who don't love Him. And you're like the canary. Pretty soon you're singing just like the others. You forgot your song. The Lord Jesus uses meetings just like these to turn men, women, boys and girls around. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. What does the Spirit of God say to you tonight? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to confess the man of sorrows? Are you willing to confess the man that was hung upon the cross as the man of your life? The man that you want to now serve for the rest of your time here? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised this one from among the dead. Thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The word is simple. It is not difficult. It is not complicated. I don't make something out of this that I need a PhD, a degree, whatever kind, to understand it. I come to Jesus in my sins. I don't clean myself up. I don't fix myself up. I come just as I am. Yes, it's how everybody here came. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Dear friend, the hour of decision is coming to a close. Young person, been here all week. Is tonight your night? Is this the night that you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of serving a master who takes advantage of me day and night. I'm tired of serving someone who gives no purpose, no direction, no help, no support. I was going to speak to you a bit about Daniel tonight in the 5th chapter. You know Belshazzar there? You know what kind of gods he served? He served gods that couldn't hear. He served gods that couldn't see. He served gods that couldn't help in anything in his life. And the time came when God said to him, Belshazzar, your kingdom is finished. You are weighed in the balances. And you're found wanting. Do you know what happened to the man that night? It's the record of him. He was slain in Babylon, turned into the hands of the Medians and the Persians. A man that knew, and I think of this in relation to many young people here tonight, maybe an older one. You know the way of salvation. You know about the Lord Jesus. And you continue on your pathway. May God help you. May God help you. Shalt thou, we're going to sing it. Shall you the hopeless horror see of hell for all eternity? I'll read verse 3. Eternity, but Jesus died. That's my answer. Jesus died on Calvary. Behold him. Thorn crowned, crucified, the spotless one made sin for thee. We all remember that there were many sacrifices in the Old Testament. And every sacrifice that was offered consumed the animal. There was nothing left but ashes. There was one perfect sacrifice at Calvary. Jesus consumed the fire of God's wrath. And I come into blessing through that. Holy judgment was found at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus there could utter from that cross, it is finished. The way is open. Our brother opened it with that tonight. Come while Jesus is tenderly calling. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I can't do that for you. The one sitting beside can't. I especially ask again, those of us that are believers, pray for those the Spirit of God has spoken to tonight. They are blind. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And we need to earnestly pray that the message we have heard again each night this week would end in the salvation of a believer. Tonight may be your latest breath. Your little moment here, be done. Frightening words. Eternal woe. The second death awaits. Is this you? Does your name belong here? Awaits the grace rejecting one. We plead with you. Your awful destiny. Foresee. Your awful destiny. Foresee. Time ends. And then eternity. We'll sing the whole hymn. My dear friend, young person, older one, we have prayed for you many days. Now, after this meeting, oftentimes people come by down here and they thank people that speak. They enjoyed the meeting. If you enjoyed the meeting, I'd like to talk to you about it, but I'd like to talk to you about it tomorrow. And I'd like to give the opportunity for those of you who Christ, through the Spirit, has spoken to tonight to come down here and let's pray together. Let's open the Word together. Let's speak about the Lord Jesus and His love for you. If it's a youngster, and maybe you're just beginning to realize what it means to be lost, you're old enough to know what it means to be saved. If you're an older one, don't worry. Don't worry about friends. Don't worry about other people. Your awful destiny foresee. Time ends. And then eternity. My responsibility is done. I thank the Lord that He helped me have enough voice to speak to you. And now I'm going to wait for you. We're going to pray for you. Those of us that leave are going to leave quietly. And we're going to ask you to come down here or stay in your seat. We'll come where you are. And we ask God's blessing. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a wondrous message. Oh, Lord, that you take sinful, wretched, hell-deserving men and women. And Lord Jesus, you save us by your grace. Save us by your precious blood for time and eternity. Oh, Lord, you are our Lord and Master. We own tonight that we are debtors, Lord Jesus, to Thee, to all that You have done. And we yearn to see others who will hear Your voice tonight, who will say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to come to You. I know what it means to labor. I know what it means to be heavy laden. And I want my life to be changed tonight. Oh, Lord, we ask that You would bless Your Word and that we would see angels in heaven rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. We give Thee the glory. Lord Jesus, we give Thee the honor and the praise. We own tonight Thou art the worthy one. We bless Thee in Your precious name. Amen.